Thank you. And thank you everyone who's come here tonight. I feel really blessed to be part of such a dedicated and genuine poetry community. So thank you all for all your poems. And Fred, I want to thank you especially, I don't know where you are, for that poem about your sister. This book, which came out actually this year, a couple months ago, The Small Door of Your Death, and thank you, Autumn House and Christine Stroud, is about partly about my son who died in 2014 of a heroin overdose. It's also partly about me. I've been in recovery for many years, and about my father who died of alcoholism at 59. And for a long time, I asked myself, why do I want to inflict these poems on people? Why not keep them to myself, you know? And I think we have a lot of memoirs out there that are about people surviving and getting through it, but a lot of us are not getting through it. And so I thought, if anywhere, there's a place in poetry for thinking about that and thinking about how it is to try to love someone who is struggling with addiction. And so a lot of these poems were written right after my son died. Some were written before. And I'm just going to read straight through. Don't clap or I'll start crying, okay? I mean, you can clap at the end, but just if you feel like it. But I sort of feel like this is the poems are connected to each other, so I'm just going to read straight through. One thing I'll say, there are some poems that involve swords, and I'm a big tarot enthusiast, and there was a summer where I thought I didn't know what I wanted to write about, and so I started pulling tarot cards, and I kept getting the Suite of Swords and the same cards over and over again. And if any of you know anything about tarot, the swords are the cards that mean difficulty. So there are some sword poems in here, but I'm just going to start here. So, and I also want to say one other thing. When I was writing these poems, I wanted them to be able to be read by my tribe, by my family, by my sister who hasn't gone to college. I wanted them to be complicated in the way that all good things are complicated, but also deeply accessible. So, loving an addict. Yesterday, the skies were troubled. Gusts almost knocked us down. Today, sun, the kiss of a breeze. It was always fights or lies. Maybe at the end, I preferred the lies. The good mother. My son's small, maybe 6, has just bathed and brushed his teeth. Toys scattered on the floor, a box of Legos here, some half-built castles there. Ninja turtles stacked like a pile of corpses in the corner, pants peeled off and left in the middle of the room. Stuffed animals heaped on his bed. He's under the covers, hair still damp, cheeks shining. He smells like any child just out of a bath, fragile and wild, pure as the finest milled soap. I grab a book, tuck him in, and start to read. I'm sober, done with drugs. All that's alive and good is in this room. My voice, his eyes, large and shining, waiting for the story. Suit of Swords. This, the family into which we were born, all edges and blades, a seeing so sharp, some of us are driven to blunt all the ways we hurt. My son, the little sword, is trying to sleep, but he's tossing and turning, cutting himself and me when I try to help. Another difficult day. Nothing is as either of us had hoped. Missing homework, notes about disobedience written in angry scrawls. He doesn't pay attention, doesn't play well with others. The principal has taken to paddling him. Teachers and shrinks peddle pills to us both. Every day I wake up, he says, and promise myself I'll be good. I really want to, but something always happens. He falls into a fit of sobs, choking. I stroke him to sleep, singing some song about summertime. I know only too well that will is not enough for change, but I'm a sword too, and have little else to offer. Nine of Swords. Every nightmare, a dream of someone we love. A Perfect Game, after Robert Hayden. Sundays too, I tell my son, your grandfather drank at the bowling alley between strikes and spares and claps on the back. I loved to watch him make the approach for his shot. How serious, how attentive to his posture, the placement of his hands, his eyes never wavering from the pins, the ball sent on its sure arc, hooking into the head pin at just the right angle for all to fall down. Often in the early years, he would bowl a perfect game, 12 strikes in a row, no matter how much he drank. Somehow drink and skill merged for a time into the poetry of a flawless act. Sometimes we would drive with him to tournaments far away, fear gripping us as he woozed back home, barely avoiding the crashes he would have in the future. Time passed, he bowled fewer strikes, and his trophies migrated to the hall closet, piled up one on the other, so many forgotten bodies. Bronze statues of the same faceless man with a golden ball, his name plated at the bottom. Before he died, he met me for dinner one last time, hands trembling, voice quaking, almost incoherent. He couldn't eat, would only drink cup after cup of black coffee. I was still a child. What did I know? What did I know of a father's Stygian alleys, of drinks guttered offices? At a writer's retreat in France, not drinking. He calls long distance to tell me he stopped drinking, and will I help him? Tell him about my own journey. I say yes, almost giddy with joy. He can't stay on the phone, but he promises to call. He's sorry, he says, for not calling more often. I hang up, holding my breath. What, I think, can I say to him? Every night here, I could tell him, the writers stay up late, drinking, talking, tasting the wines, discussing their merits or shortcomings. Sometimes they drink the special local champagne. Sometimes a neighbor invites us for aperitifs, or the owner of this place brings out his homemade cherry wine, or dandelion wine, or elderberry wine, and I think they would even make chocolate wine here if they could. I've said no thanks every night for 2 weeks, gone to bed early with my fragile sobriety. When I wake to look at the mountain outside my window, it seems the world is nothing but vineyards. Should I tell him how sorry I am not to bond with others in that way one can over drinks, when everyone is relaxed and loose-tongued, how sorry to hold myself apart? Should I tell him I don't miss the drinking itself? Of that I have memories for a lifetime. Sober, I'd say, I'm quieter, a little more awkward, more interesting to myself. I'm certain I bore others. Oh, my new French friends say, you could just have a sip, a glass, a taste, couldn't you? But they don't know the one who will not stop with any sip or taste. Should I tell him the air here smells like grape and lavender? Should I describe how it feels when I close my eyes? Something wild, ever-present, stilled for the moment. Feral. 4 months before you die, you show up at my door, skittish, sober, not yourself, whatever that self is. like a dog lost too long in the woods. All you once hoped for still lights your face, though. It is almost a holy light. You are trying to be a good man. You are trying to live in this world that you hate. I love that you still care enough to pretend to be the one I named, hoped to birth. Rehab. We're here, our skin thin as parchment, eyes ringed with grief, hearts swollen and scarred, to visit on prescribed days, to come together with you and your wounded brothers. It's hard to hope, but we cling to any worm of it. The lights in the rooms here, after all, are so bright. Eight of Swords. A woman is walking through a destroyed landscape, a forest of pines and swords. The swords are words, the words she doesn't have, words she can't say. She would like to speak, but when she does, swords come out instead of words. After dinner, he walks outside, and I imagine what he's thinking. It's winter, snowing big fat flakes. He looks up to feel them on his face. He's cold everywhere. Even his heart feels cold. He doesn't think anyone can understand how cold a heart can get. Fuck this shit, he thinks. He looks around. People walking everywhere in paths through snow. They look as if they have something to do, somewhere to go. He stumbles past a church. The snow comes down heavier, and he wonders what it would be like to float alone, a single thing of beauty singing its way to earth. Maybe that's what a soul is like, he thinks. The flakes fall, soften, disappear into his cheeks. He wonders if it's too late. Comes down to this, a friend's bedroom, a needle, you newly clean, a small envelope of dope that delivers the same dose as always, though this time it's been so long your body's forgotten what to do with so much. You choose the vein in the back of a hand to carry this last intimacy, a puncture mark, the small door of your death. Did you feel it in those last seconds, that sudden rush of sun, warmth, of all you thought you wanted? You slip into sleep so deep the body forgets to breathe. You feel nothing, not the cold water of those trying to baptize you back, or the thin lips of the friend breathing into you, not the pounding on your heart, the percussion that breaks two of your ribs, or the paramedics giving up, signing time of death. Two of Swords. Night. The heavens brilliantly bruised, purple, black, violet. Someone's face pounded open, beaten like a piece of meat, spread out as sky. The drug pusher friend speaks. His mother called me the day after he died in my house. She was crying, shouting, saying I'd killed her son, that I'd sold him drugs, that I might as well have stuck the needle in him myself. She said she hoped I'd die. She said someone should kill me. I said he got the stuff from some homeless person. I said I was an addict. I said he was an addict. I said he was my friend. two more poems. This one's, these are the last two poems of the book, and I do try as I move through the book to find reasons to go on, you know, and ways to find joy in the world. And this came out of an exercise that I gave myself to just pick a color that I loved and try to find all the ways that it gave me joy. And so I picked my favorite color, which is red. And this is called Reasons to Live, the color red. Cowboy boots, scarlet suede, still in the box, smelling like sex. Pomegranates, the seeds plumped open, their dark juice seeping into the butcher block. Whole cherries and preserves, full in your mouth, a thick spoonful. Fat raspberries, autumn apples, the memory of a rich Cabernet or spicy Shiraz. Sun-warm tomatoes from your garden, thick steaks, rare and soft, their blood speaking tongues in your mouth. Your flannel nightshirt, tartan frayed and forgiving, the dresses from your youth burning in the closet like coals from a good fire. Salmon when they are dying, maple leaves when they are dying, your favorite color before you knew any better, first color you sang, the color you love in your mouth, color that announced your birth into the world. And this is my last poem. After Gray died, we had him, his name was Gray, we had him cremated, and I brought him back. I lived in Texas for 13 years, and one of the happiest places we had ever been was at a ranch in Texas. It was a writer's retreat I had just outside of Austin for 6 months. And we went back there. My husband came with us, and we spread his ashes in the creek there. Prayer for a son. May your soul now be with the creek. May it swell and flood in spring, brimming with excitement and wildness as you sometimes were in this other life, ebbing and emptying in winter to reveal what had been hidden in those spring floods, the wounds and bones of your heart. May the small fish that live here nibble at your ashes, finding them sweet and filling, and may the dusts of your body fall like pollen on the spring wildflowers, deepening the pinks, yellows, and lavenders of their petals until their colors are like wells that lead to another way of knowing. May the insects sense the presence of your spirit as they make trails through your leavings. May summer rains join with you, and together may you enter the thin crusts of this soil to reach the roots of oak and cedar, juniper and cactus. May you overfill their veins with that joy you sought but rarely found until you burst into acorn or berry or fruit. And when the wind blows, may it catch and scatter the dust of you on wing of bird or butterfly, on fur of squirrel or rabbit, coyote, cougar, or wild horse. May you fly with them to strange places those you have left behind can neither know nor imagine. And when you are root and wing, seed and flower, when you are bone and breath, then may we be blessed to hear you in song of bird and cricket. May we see you again in the mad blinking of the fireflies and in the silence after the poem's last word. Thank you.